I like having the audience on my side. I'm going to talk about speechifying Windows Phone applications. There are a bunch of things which I'm convinced about phone development, in terms of phone and business and pretty much anything. Whatever application you are building, you should have a mobile version. That mobile version should be connected. You should be using a proper, well-thought-out security architecture, and you should be leveraging the cloud every chance you get. And the Windows Phone technology is a great way to do this. It's also a really good stepping stone to the Windows 8 way of doing things, both in terms of how you build the code and in terms of how you sell it. And it also adds the two other things which I think users will be expecting in the programs that you make. Yesterday, I spoke about background agents, ways in which you can give your applications and your systems behaviors that run behind your app, that are running when your app is not in the foreground, and how you leverage those. It's worth a look, because users will expect their applications to automatically tell them if new stuff comes in stock, or people have things available for sale, or a new podcast has been downloaded. They expect that to happen in the background. And the other thing which they expect to do, which is kind of what I'm talking about today, they will expect their applications to respond to their voice. And so what I want to do today is basically get you up to speed from a standing start on how you use speech on the phone and the kind of things you can make it do, and maybe give you some pointers and some ideas that you can carry forward to actually get the phone listening to people and talking to people. Because if you get those two behaviors in there, it's actually terribly useful. And as you'll find out as we go through, actually terribly easy too. And there's lots and lots of interesting potential. So I'm going to talk about speech in terms of speech synthesis. And then, having done that, I'm going to move on to the various ways you can control applications on the phone. How you can actually build conversations with the user, how you can get applications fired up in different ways using different commands, and then simple speech input, a little look at grammars, finish with a song, probably not, unless you know any songs, and then we're going to go on from there. So that's how it's going to be. It'll take about 70 minutes or so, but it'll seem an awful lot longer. Okay, this is all my grade A material, by the way, which makes you wonder what grade Z's like. I'm not sure if this one will work, but apparently scientists have discovered a new subatomic particle that only exists in outside toilets. It's called the latrino. Does that work? No. I quite like that one. Anyway, moving on from the bad jokes onto where we are. Speech on Windows Phone 8, and let's start off with a little bit of history. Windows Phone's been through effectively three major versions, version 7, version 7.5, and now we're on to version 8. Version 7.5 did have voice support built into the operating system. You could activate phone features using voice. You could start programs running using voice. The system will read SMS messages to you and allow you to compose and send them. This is on the old school Windows Phone systems. I actually wrote one of my most successful applications, which you can download for your phone. It's called Play Music. And that's exactly what it does. It effectively picks a random playlist and plays it. And I had the idea driving to work in my car. I wanted to hear some music. Didn't want to press any buttons. So I made an application which basically starts up, finds a playlist, plays it, and then shuts down. And I put this thing, I wrote the application over lunchtime. It took me about 45 minutes an hour to actually put the code together. Slapped it on the marketplace. 22,000 downloads, which is not too shabby. It's the most successful app I've ever made, and it's about 50 lines of code. The thing you could do with Windows 7.5 is you could fire off a program. That's all you could do. Windows 8 takes that a whole heap further, and that we now have free speech input and lots of really other useful features that we can pull in and make our applications more interesting with. So this is kind of where I'm going. I'll be talking about Windows 8. In terms of the features that you've got. The Windows 7.5 stuff does work and work quite well, but the context in which you can use it in apps are a little bit more restricted. So keep that in mind as we go through this. One of the things you can get Windows Phone to do is just talk to you. You can feed it text, for free text and it will speak. In a minute or two, I'll show you how you can make the text a bit more expressive and interesting. You can start applications and give them commands. One of the things I'm really keen on doing, but no one, I haven't seen this, if you take this idea and steal it, I'll be very cross, but no one's made a voice-controlled adventure game that I've seen. When I was a kid, there was a game called Colossal Caverns, where you go down and you go north and go left and throw axes at trolls, and the thing would tell you these big text descriptions of the places you'd arrived at. If you're very old like me, then you remember Colossal Caverns. It was very Crowther and Woods Adventure, it was also called. And that was all text, because you played it on a mainframe. Nobody I know has taken that and put it into a mobile platform. But you could do it on Windows Phone 8 because you can start the program running and give it text commands. I'll show you how. So you could have adventure go north, and your program could then speak to the person. You're now in a big cavern surrounded by emerald rivers or whatever. And that could all be done on the fly using a Bluetooth headset so you could play the game as you're driving down the road talking to it. Now, I'd love for someone to do that. I'm hoping it might be me. It could be one of you folks. But the nice thing about the voice response is you've got this kind of ability. And the other kicker, which I think is really wonderful in that situation, is that you could do that without needing an online connection. There are two flavors of voice recognition in Windows Phone. There's one that goes online and gets the cloud services of Microsoft to decode the text and push it back. And there's another one which is built in, hardwired. And that will work wherever you are. And so I'm going to cover both of these. They're both extremely powerful and rather useful. And what I want you to start thinking as the presentation goes through is, hey, I could put some speech in my app. Won't take me long, add a lot of value. So think about that and take it away with you when you go. As far as we're concerned, yeah, bottom bullet point, I'll keep on hammering. Free speech requires a network connection, but speech synthesis and program recognition, which I think I'm talking about, don't. So you can make it talk without needing any extra connections or anything at all. The phone just does this. So we'll talk about this for a little while, then we'll move on to the more interesting bits and pieces. First thing you have to do, the whole basis of Windows Phone is that you ask for a certain set of capabilities when the application is built. So the things you have to turn on to get your application to work is you turn on the capability for speech recognition in the manifest, and then you bring in the namespace. There's no libraries. It's all part of the standard phone libraries, but you do have to bring in that using to make your code a bit more succinct, and you do have to enable that capability. If you want to use the actual microphone as well, that has to be turned on too. There's another tick box in there. I can show you that code in a second or two and how to do that. So that's effectively all you have. Well, for talking, you just need that. For listening, you need the microphone as well, kind of obviously. And so effectively, you can do this. I've actually got a program that does this. If you really want to see it running, I can show you it. I'm very proud of it. It basically fires up a speech synthesizer and says, I like cheese. And I've actually made it a bit more interesting than that, in that if I go onto my machine and we go and have a look in here, I like cheese, that's fine. What this one does it in every single voice on the phone. One of the things that you find is the emulator is fitted with a whole bunch of different voices. Some of them are English, some of them are not. And if you run the program up, then you get... So you basically just hit this. It'll tell me each locale as we go through. So...
You like cheese.
A bit louder.
I like cheese.
I like cheese. I like cheese.
I like cheese. I like cheese.
You like cheese. You like cheese.
I like cheese.
I like cheese.
And
I like cheese.
It's kind of amusing.
I like cheese.
I like cheese. I've got a whole audience now listening to this.
I like cheese. I like cheese.
I like cheese.
You can do a count on that collection if you like. We can find out. It's about 13 or 14.
I like cheese.
The emulator has all of them.
I like cheese.
A device shipped for a particular part of the world. You can.
I like cheese.
You can go a bit.
I like cheese.
I like cheese.
I'll stop it running.
I like cheese.
Because it goes on for a while. But the bottom line, from my point of view, is that that voice quality is extremely high. The synthesis is extremely good, very listenable to, and it works very, very well. As I say, you're not guaranteed to have all those voices present in your device, but you can enumerate these things and work your way through them and pull out the ones that that make sense. So that's a simple way to actually get my program to speak. Things to bear in mind, this is, if you haven't seen this before, these things are asynchronous. So what will happen is you'll have to do an await, then the method call, and the method you call it from has to be flagged async as well. Now, that can be any method you like in the program you've just seen of mine. Basically, the button event handler is the thing that plays the messages, which isn't a very good way to do it. I should really fire a thread off. But that event handler is marked as async, and it all just works. No network connection. It's absolutely fine, and it does go. There is one gotcha, which you need to be aware of. And so if you're thinking about submitting apps for certification and you want to make sure that they pass, this is rather important. It's perfectly possible that while your program is speaking, the user might hit the back button or the Windows button on the phone to terminate that app and go somewhere else. Because at any given instant on the phone, you can press the Windows button, and that will take you to the Windows start screen, and you can find another application. That's standard phone UI. If they do that while your program is actually running and speaking, then your program, the speaking stops and your program is terminated. When they come back to your program, if you don't catch the exception which is thrown by this piece of code here, then what will happen is that your program will fail to restart. And for, as a result, it will fail certification. They actually seem to test for this. So what happens is you start speaking, you catch the exception that gets thrown when it fails. And the thing which is kind of annoying, for me at any rate, I'm going to sort of kill this guy. There you go. Annoying is that this behavior does not show up on the emulator or when you're running it through Visual Studio. In those situations, it works fine. It only misbehaves in this way on the real device. So it's a difficult... My little voice music program, I'll tell you about in a minute or two, I had a kind of problem with this in that I shipped it out for certification. It came back having failed, and it took me about a day to figure out what was going on. And then they emailed the phone team who came back with this. So the bottom line is that if you're trying to make your program speak, then put a catch in to catch the exception. And the annoying thing is this is not thrown by your app when the user interrupts, it's thrown by your app when the app is resumed. So if you don't catch that, the user can't restart your app. Yep? I remember service packs. The next one. Or perhaps the one after that. I mean, once you know it, it's easy. The hard bit was finding that number. I had this argument with a guy yesterday saying you should always, if you catch an exception, you should do something. You should never just catch it and ignore it. And I was thinking, okay, what do you do in this situation? And we couldn't figure out what to do. So it's perfectly okay if you just catch it and ignore it in this situation, I would say. But the important point to bear in mind and the takeaway from this particular slide is that if you do make it speak, then do catch the exception. I have a method called say, which wraps all this up. I give it the string and it says it and it does all that and it all just works. So do bear in mind that one. If you know about that, it'll hopefully save you a trip around the certification route. But for me, the annoying thing is that it worked perfectly for me because it only shows itself when running on the device without the debugging wrapped around it, which was kind of interesting. So keep the one in mind. You'll be absolutely fine. Catch it or you'll fail. Yeah, and there it is. This is your language selection. And so effectively here, I can pick my particular language from all the voices on there, and then I can set the voice for that. By default, you get the locale that you're working in. You can add other ones as well work with those things as well. And the install voices class is the thing which will give you all that. And this is just a little bit of a bit of query, a little bit of link, which will actually fix this thing for you effectively and bring it back and then set the voice up. So if you want to speak in French, then do that. And away it goes. And the voice support, very good, very high quality. I actually quite like that. One of the things that you also quite often want to do in your programs is you want to have an ability to say certain things in certain ways. If you want to say things like first and dates and times and stuff, then you really have to add markup information to make the statement actually a bit more sensible. And the standard speech synthesis markup language, or SSML, you can use to actually do this. This is a little snippet of XML that obeys that. So we say interpret as ordinal, and it'll say first as first for the room one on, and then you have a date, which it'll say properly, arriving at, and then the time. So if you want to actually construct spoken output that makes sense, you can feed it straight text, and it will do its best. If you really want to hear it said properly, then you can do that. You can point this thing at a file if you want to. You can change the pitch, the voice, the volume, the pronunciation, and you could also drop audio files in the middle as well. So you can make it say things with bits of recorded sounds in there, which would be fantastic for my adventure game. Really good. I think there's a definite gap in there. I haven't seen anyone do that. So I'm hoping that someone does come along and actually make that work, because I'd love to play that, driving along the road, playing an adventure game. How could that possibly go wrong? There's a nasty dwarf in the front of you. Hey. Right, okay, so that's okay. I can show you it working. It's quite easy to do, so I will. Let's take this demonstration and throw it away, because it's done, and we'll go to this one. This is the code that you've seen in the slide, and effectively I fire this up, and it gets deployed, and if I now turn my volume back up again, do it nice and loud, then I should now hear it
Your
speak.
Your first request was made on January 29th, 2013.
See, so it's saying it how you would like it. So first is there, set as ordinal, and then my date is said in a sensible way as well. So you can actually get this thing. You can build this yourself programmatically or hardwire it into files or whatever you like, but it all just works, and it's jolly nice too. So you've seen that one, and no one's clapped yet, but I can live with that because I'm strong, okay? No clapping and cheering yet. We'll work on that a bit later. So, yeah, one thing which I did notice, which I'll flag up for you to think about when I was building the demos, because I am from Great Britain, who invented speaking and doing things properly, of course. We invented this language you then took away and broke. I tried to use English GB for the markup file. That didn't work. So if you're using languages other than English and you're putting SSML in them, double-check it works before you actually go to deploy with it, because English US works a treat, but the GB one didn't work. I didn't manage to bottom that out before this presentation, so I'll just put that out there as something for you to be aware of. If you're going to use this marker language, it's fine. If you're in America, it'll work a treat. In other parts of the world, you may want to look at actually getting the appropriate version of the markup style for that particular area. So bear that one in mind, because that's another potential gotcha with this. But apart from that, it works extremely well. So that's pretty much all I have to say about voice output. It just works. You can make it work in different languages. You can give the right sort of output format that you want. And good luck to you. And users will love you for making applications to speak to them. It's a really good way to travel. So let's move on to the other side of the coin and look at what we can use to start our programs running using voice. The simplest way to do this is we can basically get users to launch our apps just by asking for them. So the users can run your program just by giving the name. Windows 7 did that. In Windows Phone 8, we've actually expanded that quite a lot. So the user can now pass the application parameters into the start command as well. And you can do things like target particular pages in the app, depending on the voice command that's given. And that particular page can get given further parameters to control even more sort of neatly what's going to go on. And so let's have a look at the way you do this. Effectively, first thing you do is request the speech capability of application. So you set your caps so that it all works. And then we have to register some trigger words and phrases which are going to be tied to our app. So when the app's installed, it's sitting there, but it isn't bound to any kind of voice behavior. When your app kicks up, that's the point at which you can put a behavior in there to register the commands you want to actually add to your application. And this is kind of how you do it. An async method, which you basically call the install command set from file, and you point it at the file you actually want to read from. And what I tend to do in my applications, This is a local file held in the project, and it's in a file called vcdcommands.xml. It's enough of XML, which we'll talk about in a second or two. Once you've got that brought in, the program will build a response behavior according to what's in that file, and then away you go. The slight gotcha here is that if the user rings up and says, your voice commands aren't working, what that probably means is they haven't run the app yet. So you should try and put something in the help to say, please run the program once so I can load in my file. Okay. In fact, I'll show you voice command, because in a minute or two, I'll show you how your program can detect this hasn't been done, and then put a message up saying, now come out and come back in again. Voice commands are now active. So we'll actually cover that in a second or two, but that's how you do it. And this is your little file of XML. You can add one of these to your project. I'll show you that in a second. But before we do that, I'll actually talk you through the demo app that I built for this, which is the Cheese Reminder program, because apparently some people can go long periods of time without eating any cheese. And this is bad, apparently. So the Cheese Reminder program has been written specifically to solve this problem, so that you can ask the thing to remind you to eat some cheese at some future point in your life. And we set the amount of time to wait by using voice commands. Like it says, if you're lactose intolerant, please use this program with care. All right? Otherwise, it could end really badly. Effectively, what I'm doing is I'm decoding the request the user comes up with, figuring out what time that represents, and then setting an alarm that distance in the future. I did a session yesterday, Agent Secrets, where I talked about how to build a background agent which will effectively fire the alarm for you in the future. And so this is the other half of that demo, which shows you how the voice commands. How many people were here yesterday? Yay, good, wasn't it? Yay. The singing at the end was great. And that bit with the aircraft flew across the top, which is amazing. Yeah, maybe not. No, it didn't happen. Don't believe me. What do we do? Well, this is my VCD content for the reminder, Cheese Reminder 10 minutes. So the app's called Cheese Reminder, and that's my command prefix. And then I set an example. In fact, I can talk you through this one line at a time. Wow, I've got a thing from someone. That's an email. Wonderful. This is the name of the application. This is the phrase the user says to trigger it. So the system's sitting there. If I fire up the voice response and it hears the user say, cheese reminder, then it'll start decoding the command. You can follow that with an example, which is, in this case, 10 minutes. And when the user gets the help up, I'll show you in a second, it'll say one thing you could say is 10 minutes. Then we have a command called set reminder, and this is passed into the application. So you can put as many of these commands in as you like. I've only put in one, which is I want to set a reminder for the user to control how long before he gets reminded to eat some cheese. And there's an example of that too, 10 minutes. And then we have the actual bit that makes it go. The word set is optional. So if they say cheese reminder set 10 minutes, that's fine. They say cheese reminder 10 minutes, that's fine too. Okay? And so having done that, once we've got our listen for sequence sorted out, these things in here are references to phrase lists, and you can see number down here has got 1, 2, and actually in the real one it has about 30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And these are all the time values the system can recognize, okay? And so the units is also minutes or hours, which you can feed in. And so I've given this mini grammar, which says, ignore the word set if it's there, and then I want a number in this range and some units in the units range. And then when the user's done this, yeah, that's my list of phrases. When the user's done this, my system will then say back, setting a reminder. That's the spoken feedback which the system will actually indicate that you got the command correctly with. And then when the program actually gets fired up, we get taken to this page. So it's actually, maybe I've made it sound a lot more complex than it actually is. Maybe I haven't. I'll leave that for you guys to judge. But the bottom line is you build this for the command you want to have acted on. And then underneath here, I have my list of all the phrases which I want to actually plug into these bits. You could just have three words. You could just say, get stock levels. Fine. make the word get optional, so you just say stock levels if you don't want to do that, and then you could just fire on stock levels and go to a page and go off and get the stock levels and show them. That kind of thing, easy peasy lemons, and that will work quite nicely too. My phrases can be as long as I like, and the bit which is interesting for you folks is that I can make my phrases programmatically. So if I want to actually have these things change over time, tell me when Batman's showing. It knows that Batman's in the movie list, therefore it can respond to that. Then you can do that too, and I'll show you how that works in a minute or two. So we've got that all together. And then what I do is, this is inside my navigated to method on the target page. When the page is loaded, Windows Phone will fire the method that says, hey, someone's just arrived here, navigated to. I say, okay, is it our first trip? If it is, then see if we've got voice command name on the navigation context. If we have, then that means I've actually got a voice command. Look for the command itself. If it's set reminder, do the stuff for set reminder. If it's, I don't know, clear reminder or whatever you like, or suggest cheeses, then I can have behaviors for all those things as well. Does that make sense? Okay with that? Okay. Everyone happy? Good. Right, let's all sing a song. No, let's not. Let's play this. Make it work. So now, nerves of steel, what could possibly go wrong? There's a friend of mine who started going out with a girl who's got x-ray eyes, but I've no idea what she sees in him. No? Right, fine. I like that one. But then again, I'm me, so there you go. So stop that one. Get rid of it, because I'm bored with that one. And we'll go on to the next one. If it's wake up and speak to me. Cheese reminder, here you go. This is basically the code you have seen. I've got a whole bunch of XML XAML pages down here. And this is my voice command definition file. And it's got exactly what you've seen in my presentation, except for the fact that my phrase list is much, much longer. And I can extend that to whatever I like. As you can see, you can put multiple words in there. So I've got 45, 50, and 55 in there. And then my units are minutes. So I could say minute, minutes, hours, and hours. Hour and hours, sorry, to pull out the plurals. And then at that point, I'm good to go. So I now can deploy this. It'll go into my emulator and fire up. And so now I can back out of the application. This program just enumerates through any reminders that we've got set and shows them at the moment. So I just go back out of there, and I hold down the start button. Always talk about the wiggly bit. So hit speak. Cheese reminder, 1 minute.
Setting a reminder.
So it's done that. So now we can... And there we go, we've got a reminder in, it's 11:59. That's a rather long time. You shouldn't do that. I said 1 minute, not 10. Okay. Cheese reminder, 1 minute.
Setting a reminder.
That's better. I'm not quite, I think it's the English accent. But that'll now fire in a minute's time. It's done everything I said it would. Second time. You deserve a joke for that. I bought this thing on the internet, and I selected standard shipping on the web form, and I got sent a poll with a flag on it. No? Well, I like that one. I went into the butcher's and asked for 3.1415 pounds of mince so I could make a pie. Now, that's a maths one. That's good. That's a clever job. I like that one. That's good. Yeah, okay. I have more. But if you look at the code, then you can... One of the things which is kind of interesting is I can put the breakpoints in the code actually while the program... So my voice command... Oh, there it goes. So now if I hit here, then it takes me through to the actual page tied to the alarm. One of the things you can do in Windows Phone is you can set reminders, and when the user hits the reminder page, they can go through to your app. I mentioned all this yesterday. You can find the slides and sample code on robmiles.com, which is the blog I haven't mentioned yet, but does exist. What you can do there is just take them to the page that keys to that and then respond appropriately. I was suggesting yesterday one thing you can do with reminders is you could have a thing which says, after a week, remind the user to play my application again, play my game. If you have an application where you want people to come back to it at regular intervals and you don't mind too much annoying them slightly, you can make the application set reminders and remind them to go back and play or run it, which is kind of interesting as well. So we've seen it all work, and we're all very happy. And I can press this button, and we'll go back to the slide deck. Okay, so that's how you would do it. And this, there's a lot of potential here. And it gets even better. Like we're looking at here, I have a bunch of phrase values. I effectively query the navigation context to give it the units. That gives me a string. And then I've got a little bit of a switch statement that effectively acts on that string to decide what to do. If you want to, you can modify the phrase list on the fly in your programs. And so what you can do is you can get hold of the install command set from your voice command service, and you can add new things to it. This is where it gets kind of interesting, because you have to link your code with the file that you have created. So this is in your voice command set. This is in your program. And this thing here, Fortune VCS, is a link which you can now use to modify the actual phrases in your program. And I'll show you exactly what that means in a second or two. You can make customized command files for each language. That's another important point to bear in mind as well. So I can make an English one, a French one, a US one, a German one, what have you. And each of these is tied to a particular language type, and you can pick those up on the fly when the program starts. And again, I'll show you that code in a second or two, because I'll take a deep dive into voice command, my little program. So this thing here, I have a list of all the language files I have in my application. I can get my culture information from the phone, and I can then just spin through this list looking for them. This is very, very simple code. And this will tell me if I have support for the language the user is currently working in, and if they haven't, I can display a message and behave appropriately. The first time, like I said before, the first time the user runs your program that has voice command built in, you have to load this file up, this is what I do. I just say, do we have my language installed? If not, then show a message, and then return, and ask the user to restart the thing. And again, I'll show you this going in a second or two, because now we're going to mention voice music. This is a follow-on from Play Music. If you have a Windows 8 phone, then download it by all means. It's absolutely free. And it does actually work rather well. You can select music and playlists using voice commands. It does one thing I've always wanted to do. I put my phone onto random play, and it plays music randomly, which is nice. Occasionally, I hear a track, and I go, ooh, I'd love to hear the album that track's part of. I haven't listened to that album for ages. So you can set a voice command, play the album, and voice command will find the playing track, find the album it's from, and then play the entire album, which is quite sweet. I quite like that. And the nice thing about the phone is you can have ideas like that and put them into code really easily. So voice command will do all this for you. It's not that interesting on the emulator, because that doesn't have much music built in. But I can show you it on my lovely yellow Lumia 920. Because if I go into here and I go voice command artist Steely Dan, starting OneNote. That's big helpful, isn't it? Voice music. You see, if I get this is the thing about these things. You have really clever people writing code, then it's voice music, you fool. Try again. Voice music, artist Steely Dan. And it's actually playing it. And that's the Dan. So I can do voice music artist Eagles.
Finding the cause.
It's the Eagles, you fool. But there you go, you see. Nothing in life is ever perfect. Most of my time, my experiences have been that it's the operator which is the problem, not the software. I've just proved that. But the thing about voice command is it's worth a look, because the principles are kind of interesting, and I'm sure that you can use them to good effect in your code as well. So I'll basically take away this program and move on to the next one, which is voice music. And all the code I've talked about is here. But this is the code that I think is most interesting to have a little look at, because this is my method that adds the albums to the game. If we take a look at my little voice command file. Oh, one thing I'll show you as well, since we're here, if I go into my project and I go add and I go new item, and you can do this in any version of Visual Studio. Where is it? There. We can add a voice command file from a template, and we'll just call it V1 or V whatever, like that. If you take a look at that, then you get an empty one, but there's actually a little pro forma which you can fill in, which is nice, and quite a nice example comment at the end. So this file is basically lobbed into your project, and what you have to do, sitting down there now, is you have to mark it as content and copy if newer. And then having done that, as you can see, that's how mine is down here. And so that will now get pushed into your program. You can then pull that in. If you want to switch between files, you can do it. But at any given instant, one particular voice command file will be open at any given time. This is mine. And I have two versions, one English US and one English GB. And so play this album, listen for play this album, album, and then we can say album followed by the name, artist, artist followed by the name, playlist, same again, style. I never know how to spell, say, how do you say genre? Is that right? Is it genre? I don't know. Anyway, I said style, it's easier, and that seems to work. And then down here I've got random, which is basically pick a random thing. If you want to, you could make it so you could pick individual records by name, individual tracks. But that, I tried that. It takes ages to build the list, because the list that goes in is a list of strings. And so what happens is the program, first time you run it, you do this, it pauses for about a minute and a half while it builds a big string and then passes it in, and then the thing gets parsed. And so it's a bit irritating. If you have very large numbers of stuff, then A, it gets confusing for the user, and B, it takes a while to set up. But I think you can see how that all hangs together. And initially, my phrase lists are all empty because they haven't yet been populated. If I go back to my code, then when I call my add items, I've factored it kind of neatly. And so if we haven't got any albums, don't do anything. Get the media library. Make a string array, which is the length of the album list, spin through there, lobbing the names onto the thing, and then we call update phrase list async album name, album names, and this keys to the name in my VCS file, and off we go. And it's as simple as that. So I was talking about background agents yesterday. One of the things your background agent could do is go online, find the names of all the movies that are currently showing, bring them back, update the VCS file. And then when the app starts, it can basically automatically pull those in and use them so that we can then any time say, find what time Batman's on, and it will know that Batman's currently showing in the multiplex, and it'll take the time. So if you've got changing information you want to have updated as though by magic, you make a periodic background agent, which runs every half an hour or so, that goes online, pulls a bit of XML down from somewhere, builds a new phrase list, puts it in the voice command thing so the user can always ask latest stuff. I mean, you could just make it store a file, which it then says. So you could say, tell me that new weather, and it'll just come back and say that. But there's all kinds of fun you can have with this. And what I really want you to walk away from here thinking is, ooh, I could put some speech in my app, and it don't sound that difficult. Basically, if Rob can do it, anyone can do it. That's a good line to work from. But the rest of it's kind of simple. This is the code that actually adds artist, genre, the commands, just goes through. I have for the hell of it, if I can't find the artwork for your record, I'll pick one of my 50 pictures show you that instead. And this is the unnavigated two that basically finds the voice command name, and there's my switch looking for the artist, looking for the album, looking for the playlist, looking for the genre, looking for the play this album request, and then random down there. and away you go. Random's interesting because you can say random album, random track, random style, and it'll pull those things and just behave how you'd like. So song and track are the same thing, and style and genre are the same thing, and playlist is down there at the bottom. So the code is very simple to write. You just pull strings in and do things with them. And when the user says the right thing, it works extremely well. So it's not idiot-proof, but then again, no useful programs are, in my experience. So that all fits together kind of nicely, and I'm hoping that you find that useful and start thinking about ways you can do it. And the bottom line here is all very important. This will work offline. This does not need a network connection to decode what the user has said. So you're not going to have a situation where they can't find out from your app what they want to know because they're in a tunnel. It'll work, and it works extremely well. So there you go. That's the code I've just shown you. And effectively it adds all my album names to the phase recognition bit, and off it goes, and you've seen the demo. You haven't clapped, but then again, I can handle that. I'm a big man. Oh, thank you. You are nice. I'll mention it in my will. I'll go to all those guys. Hi. Have a good one. Right, so free speech. I'm very big on free speech. A Windows Phone application can be made to recognize free speech. From my experiments, it's pretty reliable. It's not bad at all. But like I said before, you need a network connection to make this one work. So if you're off the grid, if you're on a plane, if you're in wireless mode, if you're on flight, whatever, then you can't do this. And if you do it a lot, I guess it will count towards the user's data quota if they do it a lot through their cell connection. So keep all those things in mind. Your application can just ask for a string and then act on it, and you get the same listening interface that you get. So your program can come to a point where it asks the user a question, and the user then says something, and your app has to figure out what they said and then try and do something vaguely sensible. The mechanism is actually very simple to do because here we go, press the listen button, make ourselves a new speech recognizer, and then just ask the async call to go off and get the thing. This is the point at which the whole listening dialogue is fired up, and then if you get a succeeded message coming back, you can then just show what it was they said in front of them, and that works. So if you want to do voice dictation, not large amounts of text, I would suggest, but it can be done, and that's how you do it. If you want to customize the behavior, oh, I like this bit, you can control how long the speech thing recognizes before it hears something, 5 seconds. They have a thing called babble timeout, which is great joke time. A polar bear walks into a bar and says to the barman, I'd like a pint of bitter, please. And the barman says, why the big pause? And the polar bear says, oh, I've had these all my life. Right. The good thing about that joke that makes it truly wonderful, thank you for the slow hand clap, I'll take sympathy, I'll take anything, is that it keys into the content. If you set this number to more than 0 seconds, it means it'll actually wait in between words for other words. So if you do have a polar bear which speaks slowly, then you may want to fiddle with these variables to actually get better response. The defaults seem to work quite well. I've not had a problem with them. But if you want to actually fiddle with these and to get better response, then you can do that. So you've got... after 150 milliseconds of silence, the system will actually time out. So that's basically the gap between words that we're going to allow. And this is the time the system will listen while it hears background noise. I was using this on the conference floor downstairs in the expo area, and it kept responding to other bits and pieces. So I may want to actually fiddle with some of those numbers to improve the behavior. And this is how you do it. So you can effectively say, don't read it back, don't show the confirmation, and then you can set these things using a time span value and fiddle with them. If you're using a particular environment where you know there'll be background noise, or you want to actually, you have people that speak in a particular way, then you can do that. And so that the code will just work and go through there. There are some errors. You can effectively bind to events which will fire when you have issues. So I combine to audio problem and audio capture state changed. And if I get the problem one, I can then make it say, or even show a message, please speak more clearly. So you can try and build some resilience in there. One thing which you need to bear in mind as well, I'll just backtrack ever so slightly. We do this code here. This is effectively when I fire off my speech request. This code is not good code, and I apologize for that. If the user backs out of the speech request by hitting back or abandoning it prematurely, this method here will throw an exception. It's best if you catch that. I mean, in the sample program I'll show you in a minute or two, I just catch the exception and then drop out of the method completely. Another one of my bad exception handlers that don't do much kind of things. But yes, try and make sure that if you fire off a thing like a speech recognition request, that you actually handle the fact it could go wrong, because the user can kill these things off. And if they do that, it might reflect badly on your app if it then tips over as a result. So bear that one in mind. That's kind of worth knowing. So do handle errors, and we can capture these events and do things when we get things. Like I said, I'm going to keep on hammering this. If you use free speech import, the phone needs to be on the network. Otherwise, it'll not work. You'll basically not be able to connect at all. And I covered this yesterday when we were doing file transfer. There are APIs you can call in the phone to get the network status before you go off and do stuff. So it's perfectly possible you can check that you have a good network connection before you start doing the speech recognition. I'd advise you to do that. Makes the experience better, because it's going to fail otherwise. So with all that in mind, with all those healthy warnings, we'll move on to using grammars. If you want to, you can just get text coming in, and you can respond to that how you like. But it's actually more useful if you give the response system some idea of the word you're looking for and build little grammars. You can build quite complex ones. There's a thing called the Speech Recognition Grammar Specification, SRGS, version 1. And this is a lump of XML which you can create, which defines a structure of the commands and messages you want to understand. It's a bit complicated. It's worth the effort if you want to do this kind of thing. And MSDN has some quite nice examples. These aren't in the Windows Phone neck of the woods. They're actually in the Microsoft Speech area of MSDN. But they transfer across, and you can just cut and paste them and do things. I found a simpler way to do it is just use the grammar list. And so here I have, what kind of cheese do you like? Weak, mild, medium, strong, or English? Aha. And effectively, that's my list of strength names. I can then add a grammar, which I'm going to call cheese strength, and I'm going to give it that list of words as the words I want to recognize. I can load up my recognizer with multiple grammars, should I wish to do that. And now what will happen is that it'll recognize any of these words in the grammar list and give me a confidence value and tell me which one has been said. Okay? I can then turn them on or off, so I can say, there's my request, there's my turn on the cheese strength grammar, and there's my reading of the input. We get this text displayed as part of the listen operation, and then we actually get the result delivered in the way you've already seen. And once you've got that, then we can start using the result. It has a confidence value, which is an enumeration that tells you just how happy the system is with the word that was said. Does it actually make sense? Do we get that one? And if we're fairly confident that what they've said is what we want here, we can then actually pull down the value and use it. And if you really want to, I can show you this happening. Let's pick some cheese. So if I do that, and then put this demo to sleep. No, I'll not do that. That's okay. So my final demo. There's my strength. The cheese is strong in this one. Okay. There's my message. I did it properly. I put a try catch around this time. So if you back out, it basically just returns from the event handler. Otherwise, it says, if we like what they say, what the cheese is, and then otherwise it says, sorry, didn't get that. So if we deploy this, and then I hit ask, English.
heard you say English.
There you go. And so now I actually get my message box popping up, and it's basically chosen. So if you want to add anything which has got simple responses to commands, it's as easy as that. And you can do these things. And you can get more complex should you wish to do that, although it isn't actually compulsory. And so that's all work. That's jolly good. I'm really pleased. that means that I'm going to get struck by lightning. Sometime. All my demos have worked. That means so the universe will now end at about 6:30. So don't write that down. Don't quote me. I might be wrong. I bet you it doesn't. How much? Let's go on. So if you want to, if you have multiple grammars, then you can ask it. This says, give me the top three. So if you've got several different possibilities which you want to figure out what the system thinks it may have heard, then I can effectively get alternatives. This will return a list of three results in a var type, which I can enumerate, and I can then effectively work through. So I can see which one is the most confidently decoded. They're in order. I don't think I would use this a lot unless I had a really complex game. My game might find this useful, but generally speaking, you can get simple commands and respond to them very easily. Rude words. Yep. The system knows about rude words. It will not repeat them to you. When you get them supplied to you in the string that comes back, they'll be inside the profanity tags. So you can spend the entire evening now just testing the limits of the swear word detection. Write a little bit of code and just sit there in your room going, boobies, and seeing what it does. Of course, you might have a life. I don't know. if you do, then don't worry. But the bottom line is that the system will actually, it'll behave sensibly and with good taste, and you can detect that. So you can detect if people are abusing your application, which is kind of interesting. So as a review, we can make the thing talk and we can make the thing listen. When we make it speak, we can use different languages from all around the world, and we can add this formatting information so that what it says, the context is right. It says first rather than once or one, and it gets dates and things correct. And that's extremely easy to use. We have this asynchronous call that we make to do it. We have to make sure we catch exceptions it might throw in case the user tips our application back. That's fine. We can do that. We can make applications run just by users giving their names, and that's how it was in Windows Phone 7.5. In Windows Phone 8, we can start the app, and we can give it voice commands that follow on. Important point to bear in mind here, the little file of voice commands only gets used to start the app. Once the app is running, you're asking questions and listening, which means you're using network connectivity. But if your application is running and someone uses the command to start it with a different parameter, it'll just get restarted with that parameter in there. Does that make sense? So if you wanted to do my game where you go north, kill troll, pick up gold, it would work. But what the game would do is it would drop the game state into ISO store after each move and then pick it up next time when it gets rerun. Okay? So it would be a very, very interesting thing to do that. And if you were interested in following it up, the adventure and games like Zork are all powered by an engine, which is now an open source version of, which works under .NET. So it would be kind of an interesting project if you had had the time and inclination to basically port that onto Windows Phone 8 and then put the voice stuff on top and have a voice-controlled adventure game. That would be kind of neat, because you can put sound effects in too. Be even better. So back to the plot. We can start applications up. We can give commands at the point they are started. And we can modify the command file that actually tells us what these commands are on the fly. So if we have live customer data, we want the system to respond in a particular way, we can do that, and we could get that modification behavior in place on the back of a periodic background agent. Okay, so it could be fetching the commands our system understands, could change over time, automagically, and the user could just say the thing and it would just pick it up and run with it. Okay, and so that can happen either in the foreground or in the background, either will work. If you want to do free speech recognition, yep, you can do that. And we can use complex grammars, which we can build the thing will then parse for us, or we can just use simple word lists. Either will work and work rather well. Related content, yep, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There are some breakout sessions here which set all this out. I'm surprised they aren't on this slide because they really should be. There you go. That's me. You can find me down tomorrow morning on the Tech Ed booth. If you want to come and see me and shake me warmly by the throat, or hand, that'd be better. I prefer hand. Hand is better. Then please do that. All the demo content you have seen, apart from voice music, which I keep close to my chest because one day it will make me massively rich, will be on robmiles.com. And I'll put the slide decks up there as well and links to other things. There are some hands-on labs which I think are relevant to voice. There's also some rather good stuff on the Windows Phone thing. I'll put lots of links on robmiles.com because they don't seem on this particular slide deck. And then breakout sessions, yeah, Mondays and Tuesdays. Well, you've seen the one of the best ones, but there are some more tomorrow as well. Enterprise apps, line of business applications, and apps for SharePoint. That's tomorrow morning, starting at 8:30, bright and early. So that's pretty much where I've got some labs. There you go. Lock screen warping voice command. There you go. Go and have a go at this one. If you want to find out more, it's all laid out there in front of you, which is rather nice. And yeah, we're down on the booth. And I'll be doing some more stand-up tomorrow as well, just to keep my hand in. And there's a device bar where you can't drink them. fair enough. So they have pictures of beer on them. I'm quite good. There you go. And I think we've run out of hats. But if you had a Windows Phone hat and someone saw you wearing it, you could win a phone. There are also hoodies, which we have got a fair few left of. Get a demo, go and see those. The breakout sessions you all know about. Here you go, windowsphone.com/business is a good place to start looking. There you go, this is nicely done. There's also all these places you can go, TechNet, Channel Line Learning, and MSDN. There's also a book I've written called the Windows Phone Blue Book that has loads of stuff about how to write Windows Phone apps, which you might want to look at. That'll be on my blog as well. And there's also the Jump Starts, which Rob Tiffany and Andy Wigley did, and I did some a couple of years ago, which are a laugh an hour. Truly, they are hilarious. And finally, complete the evaluation, and you could win a Best Buy gift voucher, an Xbox, a hat, or a USB hub, looks like. And that's the QR code that you use to do all that. So I've allowed 10 minutes for questions. I have 11 minutes. So all the extra fun we're going to have. Anyone got any questions on voice? Yes, sir. What a really good question. The question is, are the libraries available for Windows 8 RT? And the answer, as far as I'm aware, is a rather upsetting no at the moment, which I apologize. Maybe one day in the future, when we've got hover cars and jet boots, they'll appear then. But at the moment, I'm afraid not. Any other questions? Yeah, sorry. Yeah. If you look at the markup file, you can make it change in pitch. So you can do the Australian go up at the end of every... Australians go up at the end of every sentence, you know, good morning. You could probably make it do that. But you can't make it sound angry as such. No, you can get inflection in there. You can make it sarcastic. You want what? But you can't convey emotions as such like that. It's a nice thought. You can have a lot of fun with that, but it's not quite there yet. Yes, sir? That's another really good. The question is, what happens if two applications have got the same name? They're both called Cheese Reminder. In my experience, because I had this when I was developing, I had the production version and the one I had written both on the phone at the same time, and the oldest one, the one I installed first, seemed to get run. But remember that VCL file has a text string which you can put in there, which is the key phrase? You can change that. So the app does not have to respond to the name the application. You can change that in the VCD file. Then the first one that was installed will get to run. In Mike's, when I was testing this, if I installed mine from the marketplace and then deployed mine from Visual Studio, when I gave the command, the marketplace one got to run, which caused me a lot of confusion. But it's the thing is, it has nowhere to go. It is possible when developing to get two apps with the same name on the phone, one your production and one your development one. And so that can be an interesting issue. I just changed the words in the file and then said something different, and then confused myself even more. You can't put two apps in with the same name. The name of somebody else's, I think. Yes, I think you're right there. I'll find out more and blog it on robmiles.com so you have a reason to visit my website. As if you needed one. So, yes, a question, sir? The question is, can you actually do this in the middle of a phone call? And the answer, I'm afraid, is no. Because as soon as the phone call starts, your application is basically kicked out of memory. It's not running anymore. It's been tombstoned or whatever. So you haven't got control during the phone call. And there's no, as soon as the user says, make that call for me, bang, your app's gone. So you can't inject things into the speech buffer. It's a nice idea. Get your phone to do it. You could have a phone that said yes. You have a speaking phone and another phone. You could press buttons to make a speech like, leave the money under a hollow tree in Central Park. You could sort of do that. You know, like a typing. That would be kind of, yeah, a blackmailing. I'll put that in under a blackmailer's support app. That would go really well. Yeah. If there are actually... one of our MVPs, Nick, he has actually made an app where you can type in a sentence and make it say it. It's very easy to write that. That's about 20, that's a text box and my code, and so you could actually have it. But that would only work when that app was running and not when the phone call was active, if that helps. As soon as a phone call comes in, you get tombstoned. And if you're speaking at the time, that dies as well. Now, you could, we were talking about this last night, if the user interrupts you in the middle of your application speaking, when it comes back, you can make it go, as I was saying, and you could do that. So you would know it's happened. You'll get the events fired to deal with that in a sensible way. But it's down to you what you do. And really, you're down with whatever will annoy the user least. And I think in that case, you just take it on the chin and ignore it. And just because they've introduced, they don't care, they've interrupted you, bang, you've been killed, that's it. So come back smiling is my best advice on that one. Okay. Question? No. It's not, the question was, is it full duplex? Can it listen? No, I had some fun with that. One of my other claims to fame is I wrote a book about the Kinect, which you can buy in the shops. It's in paper and everything. It's really good. And I was playing with the Kinect has speech synthesis and also speech recognition. And I'm an academic. I mark student papers. And I wanted a program where I could just call out numbers and have the machine add them up for me. You see, I call out 1, 3, 5, 8, and it would add them all up, you see. So I thought, I'll write a piece of code that uses the Kinect so I can call the numbers out and it'll add them up. And because I'm clever, I'll make it speak the number back to confirm it each time. Okay, can you see where I'm going with this? So I say 5, the computer hears 5 and says 5. So the computer hears 5 again and says 5. So I'm sitting in my office going, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. And people walking past my room, I think I've gone nuts. And the thing was talking to itself for about... Because one of the things I've found about computers is they're really good at recognizing their own speech. They're brilliant at that. And so, yes, full duplex, you don't want to go there, okay? It doesn't add value. It's a bit like Fox buying advertising space. When we've all got Xbox Ones that respond to our voices, Fox will buy some space from NBC that says, change Xbox One, Fox now, click, and it changes channel. So you buy adverts that make your TV change to a different channel by saying the Xbox commands. That's interesting. I don't know. But no, no full duplex. It's either listening or it's speaking, not the two at the same time. Oh, yeah. That's annoying. But it would know. If you ever played the real adventure, it had a big description the first time you go, second time, Emerald Room. So you just have to programmatically track where they are and where they've been, and only tell them and only give them the long form the first time they arrive there. That's easy to sort out. That's how I would do it. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much for being a fantastic audience. Please fill in the evals if you haven't already. And now we get to give someone a free phone. So I'll pick one at random. My eyes are shut. There you go. And the winner is Rob Mutno. It's Darren Britton. Yeah. Okay.